mean, we could just talk in bullshit, and if it happens to get recorded, then we could post it.
I feel like that is the joie de vivre, the je ne sais quoi.
The
I can't put my finger on your lips right now.
Of our podcast. Oh.
Okay, thank you.
The ampersand. Vaguely French sounding words.
Croissant.
Yes, it is the croissant of our podcast.
That sounds correct, actually. That yes. Yeah. Yes, I will accept this one.
Greetings, Apple Posse.
Bonsoir.
This is the AON podcast. Buckle up for the sex.
For the love making.
The love making sex.
Oh my god. Oh my god, why?
This is the Apropos of Nothing podcast.
With your host,
Salsa.
James.
Gemma Paul Jennifer.
And this is the French episode of the AON podcast.
Oh, God.
These accents are spot on, and no one can tell us any differently.
You know? You don't think Sean Petre could tell
us? No. He knows better. He knows easier. Spot on.
Oh, God. He's crying right now. I don't even know if he still listens to us, but he's crying.
He doesn't know why he's crying.
No,
he's crying.
No. Yeah. He is crying.
Oh, God. Oh, God. Ooh. I was going to say something like, we're going to get a strongly worded letter, but our Canadian listeners probably won't do that. Actually, it'll just be like, aw.
No, they will just enjoy their health care. Damn it.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah, that got less funny real quick, didn't it?
Well, what
is your name in French? Is it what sauce?
Sauce.
Because is salsa the Spanish word for sauce?
For sauce, yeah. So my name in French is Roux.
I have questions and or concerns.
I definitely have concerns.
Perhaps Bernays.
Bernays. I'll take that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I love that there's like the Big Bird thing where Big Bird exists and is the American Big Bird. And then they had a couple of different Big Birds internationally, and then they decided that they're all cousins, so they all exist and know of each other and interact by letter or by phone call, and they all have different names and are differently colored. And so now headcanon for the podcast is that the same thing is happening with salsa, that there are a series of different
feel like podcast I missed hosts. A part of where you were coming from and then realized that I probably didn't miss anything. I'm just very confused. Fucking what are you talking about? About Big Bird?
So we, in America, we have salsa,
right.
Who represents North America. Okay. And then for
does
France,
he? I don't know that I want salsa to represent.
No. I'm hear him out.
Yeah, and then other countries would have
their own version
podcast host. Okay. Yeah, who is?
I don't understand the Big Bird thing.
Oh, because Big Bird's got different cousins, and originally the idea was that they were just going to call them
like Sesame Street Big Bird.
Sesame Street Big Bird.
If you watch German Sesame Street, they have a Big Bird analog.
Who is not yellow? Big Bird.
I did not know that. You said Big Birds, and I was like, I don't like. Is that a
emus?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, I am missing.
Australia has an emu.
All right, so I am salsa. I am salsa with our hosts Jenna and Emu.
Yes.
Yes.
I don't know how. I need a drink.
From now on in Canada, I am known as Bechamel.
Oh my God. Well, I'm drinking wine, and that's about as French as I'm going to get tonight, yeah. Bitches. It's
some
not
wine.
Even French. It's wine. I'm drinking some kind of, what the fuck this is. It's called Hybrid, I guess. It's a Pinot Grigio from 2021. It had a screw top. So, yeah, that's what the bottle looks like. Mm-hmm. It's fine.
I'm drinking Witching Hour wine. It's a red wine. It's like a sweet red wine, but it's hot.
Oh.
So
like is it mulled or is it just warm?
I didn't have to put any mulling spices or anything in there.
You didn't have to, or you just didn't?
Both. It's delicious hot.
It is not mulled. It is just hot wine.
Okay. Yep.
The answer to your question is he did not mull it. It is just hot.
I mean, it would have been really easy if you had just answered that question, but instead he had to change it.
I thought
it
did.
He didn't.
You said that it didn't need it, not that you did or didn't do it.
Ah, okay.
Mm-hmm.
There was an implication, but there was not an answer.
Yes. I am drinking Ragnar.
Is it a wine?
No, it is. I kind of wish it was. No. A while back, I was hanging out with my wife, and she was like, we had mead and we had whiskey. And she was like, I'm gonna make a Johnny jump up, but with mead. And I made the joke, so it's like a Ragnar jump up. And she was like, what is sure. So in our house, that is now a Ragnar jump up.
Nice. It
is mead with whiskey as opposed to cider with whiskey.
I like it.
Because Vikings.
Right.
Yeah.
It's muy bueno, as they say in France.
Yes.
I have nothing to do with this.
As they say in France, this is muy bueno. Skol.
Oh, God. Oh, Jesus. Oh, fuck. Oh, God.
Or molto bene for you French speakers.
James, what the fuck have you been up to? I don't even want to hear from Salta for a bit. Shutting him down.
Yeah.
Why are we recording online? You want to talk about that?
I've injured my back, and I'm not sure what thing in particular it was, whether I just pushed myself too hard during a workout, which we surprised ourselves by not knowing what the base weight of one of the bars was.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sure.
So when you bench press or use one of the machines, something like that, it's got a weight that is just built into it without you putting extra weight on it.
Like, and a lot of people for benching, like the bar itself is like 45 pounds.
Yep.
So there's like an angled squat thing where you lay on your back and you push a weight up a ramp, not a door, a ramp.
Yep. Yes.
And
I fucking love that machine, by the way. I feel so strong with that one.
We did too.
Isn't the base
once we figured out how much weight we were pushing, because the little sled on the ramp by itself was 140 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
We did not know that.
Ah.
So we had put an additional 150 or 160 something pounds on there.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. When we calculated it, we had put plates on it up to, I think we were like 325 or something.
Okay.
Just completely goddamn ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We did not know. And it's possible that or one of the other things that we've been doing very regularly just you know, pushed something out of alignment. Mm-hmm. I also went in for chiropractic after working out on Friday, and it's possible that I didn't rest properly after getting chiropractic, and that I've like pulled a muscle or something.
That seems likely.
Yep.
Because then after that, I went shopping at a home goods store to buy slate tiles, which it turns out not light.
No.
Yeah. And they,
Or D, you're over the age of 40, and this is life now.
The problem is it's all of those. It's all of the above. Yeah.
Check.
I had a lot of difficulty sleeping on Saturday night. I just wasn't falling asleep. I hadn't even had much caffeine, but I had just gotten done with a show and had an amazing time.
Show buzz.
Yeah, and just I was not caffeinated, but I was awake until 4 in the morning, and it has been a very long time for me since I have not felt overly tired around 11 p.m. because I've been getting up at 5. So, I also, like, the way that I had pillows stacked and blankets and that kind of stuff, it's possible that something was wedged weirdly under my spine, and that my body just went, I don't like this. But I woke up Sunday at 11. We were having guests over for like a pajama relax day, and I was gonna go see The Little Mermaid with me, Matt. I was going to go catch a Broadway at the Ordway with my mother. And so got up and immediately felt rickety and just terrible, but bustled through the last little bit of picking up and stuff. Not to get our house into what I consider to be hosting shape. Sure. That is a shape with far fewer corners than that's a triangle. We got it into like nonagon. We invited people over that we were comfortable knowing that we live here, and you know, seeing dishes on the counter because they've been brought in from other rooms and stuff. Yeah, got up. Jenna was already here, which was amazing.
Yeah, I like to say I woke you guys up. Because it sure looked like it.
Basically, because Jax had been up for, I don't know, a couple of minutes or something. And they came like, wake up. People are here. Time. Yeah. So, brought everybody. I'm so relieved that it was a pajama relax day, because that was what
that would have been embarrassing if it was on. Like a very a formal brunching type affair.
Yeah.
With pinkies up and mimosas. So
had several wonderful people over to just hang out and chill with us. I dipped out pretty close to 1 in order to go see the program with my mom, and had an amazing time. It was spectacular and emotional. I understand that both of you know this, and that this is why we lead the lives that we have chosen. But live music and acting and entertainment and performance is really emotionally, viscerally poignant. Like, it's really, it's so much more than watching the movie.
Sure.
The movie is going to be perfect every time. There were definitely some notes that people wavered on, or, you know, because they'd been running around the stage or whatever, but oh my God, it was fan-fucking-tastic. If you get a chance to see one of the Broadway at the Ardway presentations, by all means. We saw The Little Mermaid. It was great. It was hilarious and romantic and fun and, you know, all of the things that a good fairy tale should be. Even the special effects were, even the ones where you were like, oh, okay, I can see the cables and stuff. You were like, yeah, that's so well done. Had a blast, came back. People were watching some things and then filtered out into the evening. And then, I passed out early. The show that I sort of skipped over, was one of the Fuck 2024 shows for Vilification Tennis, our last two shows of the year. And they were fucking wild, because they always are. It's all of our favorite bits and all of the things that the audience really seemed to love crammed into one show, just fucking shoehorned in there. And we played one of my new favorite forms, which is like, name that tune thing where they're bidding down a number of seconds,
sure,
in order to name the song. But instead you're given the subject and you are bidding a lower number of words to write an insult.
Oh.
And it usually starts at 10.
Yeah.
And then
I can write an insult with 5 words. I can
write.
Yeah.
I can write that insult in 3 words. Had 2 where we whittled it down and I got to 2. And I felt relatively confident that I had just something amazing for it. And the audience loved it.
Mm-hmm.
Both times. Last time, I was whittling it down to 4, and I'm thinking, like, okay, I'm up against Hetty, who is extremely quick, and she's wickedly funny. It was just the two of us left, and sure. I had this sinking feeling almost immediately.
Okay.
Maybe I can bid her down to a number of words where she will be stuck.
Mm-hmm.
And this is kind of my safety insult that I've got. So I got it down to 4 words instead of 2 words. And I was like, I can write that insult in 4 words. And she said, write that insult. And I went, fuck. Like, audibly stage.
What was the subject, and did you write that insult?
The subject was climate change and bad weather and that kind of stuff.
Okay.
And I did write that insult in 4 words, and it was fine. It was...
It got the job done?
It was fine. Yeah, it was an insult.
Okay. All right.
Not nearly as good as the previous ones. And the audience kind of went, oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah. Polite applause. And then because I had failed at 4 words, she was given up to 10 words to write hers. And I knew, like, I knew how that was going to go, and it did.
This will not end well. Yep.
Yeah. No. It was the coup de grace. I was beheaded on stage for the delight of the of the populace. Yeah.
Your hubris got the best of you.
Oh my God! It super did. Yeah. Holy shit!
Dare we say hoisted by your own petard?
Some petard.
No.
Sorry, it's canon now. It's canon now.
But yeah, that happened. God. And
sorry, Sean.
There, There were a bunch of other games that were like really, really fun. But that final Ville round, I was in it with Nikki against Nick and Molly, and it was fucking electric. Like there are times, as I'm sure both of you will understand, and the audience, if they've watched Ville 10 or have listened to our various war stories from it, will understand. There are times where you're up there and you feel like you're running to catch up, or you feel like you're like pushing the whatever to bring the energy up and to like, or you're making conscious decisions about how this is gonna go. As far as like, okay, they're not laughing at this thing. I need to change to a subject that the audience is going to be more engaged with, or I need to, they really loved this, the small dick joke. I need to go back to those. What is my next small dick joke? You have to be calculating on the fly. But it was so smooth and it flowed so well. Nice. Between the teams, we were just volleying back and forth with matched energy. We were increasing the, you know, ramping it up and getting so much worse.
When you get into that flow state in a Ville match, it is euphoric.
Mm-hmm.
It really is.
Well, and I am doing something different that may help me to do that more often. Because for me, memorization is a series of words that make a picture.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I memorize my stuff.
Sure. You and many others. Yep.
I've got my keywords. I build them into a little story.
Yep.
So it can be difficult for me to do those out of order. It can be difficult for me to remember which ones I've done. And so sometimes I'll, you know, leave something behind because I can't be sure that I haven't lobbed it already. Gotcha. Whatever the thing is. But we are, Jax and I are getting in the habit of working together on the day to just like pure repetition, get the wording, the intention, the and it helps me more than just repeating the joke aloud to myself.
Mm-hmm.
far more to have somebody helping me study them, and so on the drive over they'll help me with memorization, and I feel more confident. I've got my jokes ready at hand. I'm prepped. I'm still nervous as fuck. Always. That show deeply terrifies me.
The day you're not nervous is that's why I retired. It's because I stopped being nervous. I stopped being jittery about it. It became rote. It was no longer something that I felt anxiety over. And so I just stopped putting in that passion for it.
Yeah.
And that's when I knew it's time for me to retire, because I no longer am scared to get on this stage.
Oh, see, yeah. Since I had my brain injury, I had problems memorizing. And so I was differently anxious.
Certainly, but I definitely don't recommend that course of action.
Right.
No.
I don't recommend that be people's metric for when to retire. But for me, that was very much I stopped noticing that I should feel anything on stage. And that's when my performance suffered.
Yes, that's when your performance suffered.
Oh, fuck off.
Nice.
Thank you.
All joking aside, though, that it is absolutely true. It is one of those that as soon as you stop feeling those jitters before a show, time to start thinking about hanging up the Spurs.
Yeah.
But yeah, I had a fucking great time with that. Obviously, between the previous episode and this, we had a major holiday where gifts were exchanged and things like that. But I don't want to go through my list of Christmas gifts other than to say that like people got me really thoughtful, nice things. Aww. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, one thing I will say is that the Secret Santa happened.
Mm-hmm.
Should we save that for middle section?
We can do that. All right. Then I won't start with that.
Let's hold on to that one.
But aside from that.
How was the play? actually, I did go to a play. So.
Well, there you go.
There you go.
And how was it?
How was it? It was delightful chaos.
Well, there you go.
So Sunday morning, I stormed over to James's house and woke everybody up in the house. Because they were having a thing, but I had to leave earlier, so I wanted to get there earlier. So I was the first one to show up and like ring the doorbell a few times and be like, "Hello.
Wake up. Wakey wakey."
Did I get the time wrong? Did I get the day wrong? No. But I had a delightful time at their place, just chilling. James's spouse made me Cafe Cubano, and I had missed that so much. So good. So good.
It's truly the nectar of the gods, yeah.
So good. Well, I mean, when your spouse and I were roommates, that's pretty much how... they kept me from killing them in the morning. In the morning specifically, I am not a morning person. And they would just make me Cafe Cubano, hand me a cup and walk away for 5 minutes. So, you know.
Yeah.
But that was nice. And it was lovely to talk and get caught up with people. But yeah, I had to leave because I went to see Happy Crazy New Year.
Oh.
It is a show by Dangerous Productions.
Oh.
It is an all-ages show. So Dangerous Productions is known to many as the horror company with the most blood effects when they go to do a show. Specifically at my festival, but also at, like, Fringe Festival or other things, they bring a tarp and they lay it down on the stage and then blood effects ensue. This show is all ages, family friendly, in fact, kid focused show. There are no blood effects.
Huh.
There is no blood. It is just a fun, silly show. You can see it is that there are time travelers, and time travel happens by wacky ways, and they need experts, so they'll like pick children to take them into a back room and have conversations with them to get information for some improv-y type stuff. And so there's this entire story about all of them as time travelers. They are James. I think the name of the group is the Bureau of Universal Time Travel, or the Butt, and they will talk about having been sent from the Butt. They reference the Butt repeatedly over the course of this show. James, I feel like you should see it.
This does really sound like my kind of jam. Yeah.
I mean, they've only got two more shows. There's one. Well, okay, probably one more show at this point. One happening right now, and then one tomorrow evening.
Time. By the time, dear listener, you hear this, twill be too late.
It'll be too late. But I waited for James and he didn't catch it. That's fine.
I got it, but I was not going to.
Some jokes go over my head.
No, it was, well, it wasn't for
some
you,
Salsa. Some butts go over
it was,
your head.
It was for that's James. True. It was not for you, Salsa. I did not expect.
Unfortunately, though, I got caught in the crossfire.
You did, and I apologize sincerely from the bottom of my heart.
I do appreciate what you have done there.
Yes. You understand the crack that was made.
Yes.
See, it's so much better when I do it. Anyway.
Yeah.
Also true. Huh?
So I saw that they have one aspect of it. They have a rope hanging from the ceiling. And there's a little sign on it that says dance party. Oh. And people can just go up to it at any point, pull on the rope, and there is a dance party for like a portion of a song. Hmm. All of the songs tie into the play as it's happening. Hmm. And this is especially dangerous with children.
Oh, yeah.
Because they will want to pull on the rope all the time.
Of course.
Because dance party.
Yes.
But yeah. Like
children. And totally not me.
I didn't say what ages.
Yeah. Those are the same thing, Salsa. That's.
Yeah.
I think you mean bechamel.
God.
Hate my life. It's so good.
That is a word you have chosen to use. So anyway, so yeah, children would go up and pull on the rope. And honestly, like, I think the parents did a pretty good job of keeping the kids away from the rope for chunks of time anyway.
Sure.
There was one time where a kid tried to do a back-to-back, and one of the performers was like, no, it's got at least a 5-minute reset on it. I'm sorry, buddy. We got to wait for the next one to load, kind of a thing. So yeah. But it was a delightful show. And it was held at 825 Arts, which is a venue that recently opened in St. Paul. It opened last August.
Oh.
And it's a theater and a community area off of University and like Victoria.
Oh.
Yeah, it's really not that far from you, James.
Truly.
you can't go straight up Victoria.
No.
I tried. I failed. But I was still excessively early because I was like, I need to grab food along the way. And yeah. But the building is this glorious old building. It's over 100 years old. It started off as a movie theater. And then it was a speakeasy. And then it was a lighting fixture store. yeah, like.
Oh, I know this building.
Do you?
Yeah.
825 Arts?
I used to live in St. Paul.
I
recognize, now that I'm looking at pictures of it, I have driven past this building many times.
Yeah. So, a local improviser that I know of through like Fantastic Voyage and Jester's Comedy is the operations manager, I want to say, and helped get like grants and funding to turn that building into a theater and community space. And so they have a lot of like after school activities, children's activities, low income, community connection type things, and then also a bunch of theater. It's a black box, but it's like a big black box with a lot of possibility. They have like a projector screen because, you know, used to be a movie theater. So
sure,
there's a great way to make projection happen.
Yeah, it shares a building with an Ethiopian restaurant.
Sounds right.
Oh,
I don't know if that Ethiopian restaurant is still there, but it did at one point.
Is that, well, so there are several.
There are a lot of Ethiopian restaurants in that area. In St. Paul, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah. So it's a neat space. And if anybody's looking to rent that out, I know there's a lot of
accessibility options there.
Sure.
And in fact, the entire first floor is completely wheelchair accessible.
Dang.
There is a second floor, and they do have a lift, and it takes forever because that's how secondly installed lifts happen. But yeah, they made sure that all of the bathrooms are appropriately set.
Nice.
For accessibility, and they also didn't redo the inside, like as far as like decor. The walls are these cement walls, but you can see different layers from different eras of what that building has been in the past. It's so cool. It's kind of like, it's like if, because it's got that old feeling like the Southern Theater has, where there's kind of a bit of an old, not broken down, but just has that history behind it.
Exposed, yeah.
Yeah, but also meets a bunch of different eras of what it has been, and you can just see it, and it's so cool.
That sounds gorgeous. I'm going to have to check it out.
Yeah, absolutely do. I don't know if... I first saw it, I want to say about a month ago, Fantastic Voyage was doing a show there.
Mm-hmm.
And that was great, because normally they do shows on Mondays. And I'm do you busy have, Mondays.
Oh, you are?
Yeah, usually.
What's going on then?
Fuck you.
What's going on Mondays is fuck you.
I'm certainly not doing anything on Mondays.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we've noticed.
Thank you for walking into my joke.
Yeah. Always glad to knock the ball off the tee.
Yep.
Yeah, so yeah. It's a lovely building, and it was a lovely show.
Mm-hmm.
They did it last year too, and I didn't see it last year, so I was glad to see it this year.
Year may have sucked. We don't know.
We don't know. But hopefully they do it again next year, because I think it's great for kids to have like a New Year's show that they can actively participate in and stuff. And it's super fun. And because there's improv elements to it, I'm sure there are aspects that are different every time.
It sounds in all seriousness, it sounds kind of like an improv interpretation of a panto.
Oh, yeah.
I have an idea. What's a panto?
A panto is a British Christmas tradition where they have... and the joke is that celebrities that are down on their luck and you know, short on cash will do shows to make money, but it's basically the like they'll do Peter Pan, or they'll do like Snow White or something, like they'll do a story that everybody knows, but it's very if you've ever seen, I think Love Actually may be there doing a panto, I can't remember, but if you've ever heard the call and response of, oh, no, they're not, oh, yes, they are, that's
or like, panto thing. It, almost like the Dora the Explorer fourth wall break, where it's like, oh, I'm in the room, and I need to look for the treasure. I wonder if it's over here. And the kids,
kids are screaming that, no, it's behind. Yeah. It's over there. Yeah. And
No, that's absolutely it. There's a lot of fourth wall audience participation stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Good. Okay. Yep.
Yeah, where somebody is going, where is he? I can't find him. And everybody in the whole, like all the kids are like, he's right,
sticking out of the treasure chest or something. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very, very similar to that.
Yeah.
So I recommend if that happens again next year.
Yeah.
Okay.
On Saturday, I saw four different movies. I was Doc Washington had a movie marathon for his birthday, and so I went to 4 out of 5 because I'm not gonna be at a movie theater for a movie at 9 a.m. I don't care how important you are in my life. That's not happening. Fuck you. I don't like mornings. I don't do them. Don't like them.
there are, I agree with you, but there are like two exceptions to that rule. Okay. And one of them is if like you're going to watch the entire like extended Lord of the Rings in one day.
I'm still like, not.
That would be one of the.
I would rather be up late than have to go in early.
Oh.
I mean, both are going to happen.
Well, not. I will. I will not. Not before 10. Just not happening.
That no. Again, sure. I agree.
But yeah. Anyways, so and that means every movie that I have seen in a movie theater this year, which is 11, were all movies that I saw at somebody's birthday movie marathon. I went to no movies outside of birthday marathons this year. But it was a good time. I'm just going to skip reviews for the movies. Two of them I was like, meh. The Bob Dylan biopic thing with Timothy Chalamet. I don't remember the name of it, but that was pretty good. Mufasa was fine. Better than I expected, but I had low expectations. And there were definitely aspects that weren't great. Sadly, the music bothered me. I know. But
not enough John.
No, well, it was just none of the music really moved anything forward. It didn't move character development. It didn't move story. It didn't do anything.
Didn't they already release the like live action Lion King earlier?
This is
Mufasa. It's a prequel. Kind of
a prequel.
Yes, called Mufasa.
Is it an animated or is it a?
It's a live action
computer animated. Yeah. Realistically, computer animated.
It's a realistic. Yeah.
Okay. Yes.
But yeah. It's a prequel. I was not aware that was a thing.
No, and the main story was fine, but everything they put around it was like, why did you do that? They had Timon and Pumbaa in it. Was unnecessary entirely. Yeah,
C-3PO and R2-D2 showed up.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah. Oh, it turns out that Mufasa created Timon.
Right. That's.
God damn it!
And when Timon met Simba, he conveniently forgot that fact.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. I saw. Let's see. We saw Baby Girl, which is. I was not a fan. So Nicole Kidman's in it. And it's basically, it's an exploration into humiliation kink, they did not handle very well in certain aspects. Like some of it, I was like, okay, that makes sense. But some of it, I was like, nope, that's not okay at all. It was kind of like watching 50 Shades of Grey, where you're just like, that's not.
Like, it's a thing that's okay, but it's not handled well.
Correct.
Okay.
They had a conversation about consent and then did not show appropriate consent. And I was just like, nope, you've lost me. You have completely lost me in this moment. You tried to acknowledge that consent is an important part of a thing and then did something not consent-y, and I'm not okay.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah. I'm not a huge fan of it. You get to see a lot of Nicole Kidman, so that's kind of nice. But other than that, maybe just don't. And then I saw Nosferatu, which was very good. There were a few points where it was fairly true to the book. And there were a few points that I was like, you could have used the magic of film better in this particular way. But overall it was a fine film. They did have, to show the symbolization of the spread of a plague, they used rats. Which I have a fear of mice. I don't have a fear of rats. Rats can still wig me out, but it's not the instant panic-inducing phobia that mice are, right?
Sure.
But every time they show rats on a screen, the sounds that they play are of mice. So, like, the sound effect, the sound of rats making noise is mice sounds. And I was, that was not good. That did not like that at all. Jesus. So, yeah, that was uncomfortable for me. And I think they made the right choice for the movie. That was definitely some stuff they did well in showing the spread of the plague using rats. That was smart. Good artistic decision. I just didn't much care for it personally. So those were those movies. Friday night I went to a solstice party where somebody had a candle hat and then I blew a fireball off of it. Yeah. And then I balanced a sword on my head. So you know, it was a pretty good party overall.
Yeah, sounds like a great time.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds like a pretty normal party to me.
Right.
Like every party I've ever been to.
A lot of candle hats in your parties?
I mean, if you've ever been to a Swedish Christmas, then yes.
Of the Pennsylvania candle hats?
What is it? St. Lucia? Is that what it is? With the crown of the candles?
Lucia or Lucia?
Yeah.
But yeah, no, you're thinking of the right thing.
Oh, Lucy. Yeah.
Yeah.
I went to a Lutheran college and this was a big thing. So
yeah, it was. I get that entirely. But yeah, with the it's like a garland hat.
Yeah. I grew up Catholic. And so for me, this was like an Advent calendar, but as a hat.
You mean an Advent wreath?
Yeah, an Advent wreath. Sorry. Yes.
Yeah, a calendar is a different thing.
I stand corrected. But yes, it was like an Advent wreath, but a hat.
Yep.
And it was like this St. Lucia thing. So.
Yep.
It was weirdly exactly what I was imagining.
The hat involved in this particular party was one of those garbage plastic hats, like garbage plastic top hats.
No.
And they just somehow adhered about 50 different taper candles to this motherfucker.
No. And it has burned.
That having been said, an advent calendar for hats, I would be totally into. So throwing that out.
Hatvent calendar.
Right. Oh, a hatvent calendar. Yes.
Hatvent. Okay.
That is either expensive calendar or incredibly cheap hats.
It would be an expensive calendar in my taste. So,
I'm going to contemplate this for about 2 minutes and then never think about it again.
Same.
As is tradition.
So same. Yeah.
But it was a lovely shindig with lovely people.
Yeah.
And that was a good time. I got to play with a baby. I like playing with babies. I got to play with fire and swords and babies. It was a real good party for me, y'all.
Sometimes at the same time. Yeah.
Actually.
Fires, swords, and babies, the Jenna Young story.
Yes. Absolutely.
Yep.
But yeah, that was pretty much it. Like, didn't do a lot for Christmas. I gave myself a lavender tub soak and watched a bunch of Hallmark movies.
That sounds amazing.
And I ate Kansas City barbecues. So, you know.
Yeah. You said you were getting like 4 pounds of meat.
Yep.
Sounds perfect.
Yeah. Oh, it seems so good. Awful.
Ah.
Oh, yep.
Lovely time.
Mm-hmm.
What about you, Salsa? What have you done?
Well, I worked up until Christmas Eve. I had no whatever.
I did too. Yeah.
Yeah, like I said last week, I worked, and by that I mean literally somebody messaged me and went, "What about this?" And I went, "Let me talk to the guy who knows the answer to that when he gets back." Ha ha. And that was what I did.
I actually had to do real work on the day of Christmas.
Everybody who was able to do pretty much anything I needed them to do was out. So I didn't
know everybody was out. So I had to do things for other people.
Oh, I just kicked that fucking can down the road. Anyway, no. So Christmas morning, you know, did Christmas with the family here at the house. It was really sweet. My like both of my kids know that Santa. Spoilers for those, by the way, if you think Santa's real, you know, skip ahead. But my children both know that Santa is not real. But my son still at like 10 p.m. came downstairs and was like, we didn't put out cookies and eggnog for Santa. We got to do that. It was like, aww. Yes, dear child, we are 100% doing that. you know, so we put out the cookies and the eggnog, and I had to do my Santa duty of picking the big bite-shaped bite out of the cookie, you know, and drinking 9/10 of the eggnog and stuff like that. So
can I pause for a quick interruption?
Go ahead.
Jessa figured out pretty early on that there was no Santa. And like we had a conversation about it, and she's like, yeah, but I'm still gonna pretend for grandma and grandpa. I'm just like, that's adorable and I love it. Yes, mm-hmm. please.
But so, I just
anyway.
The fact that they know, but also we're still gonna do this because right. it's fun. It's part of the thing. You yeah. know, they didn't get jaded about it. They were just like, no, we're still gonna embrace
nice.
The fun. Of it, yeah. which I appreciate, and I'm really happy that they have been very mature, but still maintain their childlike wonder with the whole, you know, everything yeah. like that. It's the best of both worlds. It really is.
Well, and sometimes traditions like that are they supersede belief and
yeah, exactly. Like, I mean, it's much like Disney. It's like magic isn't real, but magic is real.
Yeah,
you know what
yeah,
I mean. Yeah.
We're willing to suspend our disbelief when we watch David Copperfield make yeah. the Statue of Liberty disappear.
But I mean, Santa yeah. is not real, but also Santa's real.
Yeah.
Like if you take Santa as a personification of the Christmas spirit, you know,
giving and joy and
yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Sure.
Santa's real in yeah. that case. And so just like going with it and embracing it and not, you know, getting jaded about it. I love
yeah.
very much. But anyway, we had Christmas here, but then we packed up and we went to Wisconsin to visit my brother.
I've heard of that place.
My brother lives out that place. This is the brother that was in a motorcycle accident.
Oh.
At Sturgis. Like, he was at the Sturgis bike rally and had a motorcycle Jesus. Accident. So,
oh,
like,
wow.
he and his wife had like surgeries and like they were pretty messed up, so they weren't traveling very well, so we're like yeah. we're just gonna visit you
yeah
right.
So it was me and you know, we went and visited my brother out there, and I have a sister who lives in Madison, and they visited my brother, so it was the three siblings in our families there. So we traveled out there on Christmas Day, spent the next day out there, we came back the next day. But this was the best part, is because we all went out to my brother's place. And then, so it was like I said, it was me and my family, mm-hmm. my brother and his family, and my sister and her family. And then me and my family came back to the Twin Cities. My sister's husband grew up in the Twin Cities area.
Okay.
So they also came this direction. And then yesterday was the Vikings Packers football game, and my brother sure. had tickets.
Oh my God. Okay.
Oh.
So we all went out there for Christmas and spent a few days over there. And then all three families
oh, up wow.
and moved to the Twin Cities and relocated there.
Oh my God.
Like even to the point that my sister's daughter was in the car with us on the drive back, just so the cousins could have a little bit more time together. Like, all three families uprooted and moved to the Twin Cities for a little bit. It was highly amusing to me.
Nice.
That we had all gone out there and then just en masse moved
then
this direction.
Booked it over.
But
that's funny.
The other thing that really amused me, and this is something that I feel angry and sad at myself that I hadn't noticed before. But my brother lives in Sparta, Wisconsin. There's a town in Wisconsin called Sparta, Wisconsin.
Okay.
I live on Xerxes Curve.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I had not noticed until my brother made a crack that we had our own little interfamilial Thermopylae. And I'm angry that as a classics person, I missed that. That makes me really upset.
Well, you've just, you've failed at life, Salsa.
I really, really have. That's and true. I don't know how to, I need.
You're going to have to find a way to atone.
I really, I need to make some offerings to Zeus and a few other deities of various levels. But anyway, no, that was what we did. I had a grand old time. And then we got back on Friday. On Saturday, we had Christmas with friends. We had our friends' Christmas. It doesn't flow off the tongue as well as Friendsgiving, does it?
Friendsmas.
It's still not as good as Friendsgiving. But anyway, we had our Friendsmas on Saturday, nice. which was a fondue. And oh my goodness, did we fondue? We had so much. We had two oils, a cheese, and a broth.
Nice.
What all did you do in the oil? What did you cook in the oil? I'm, as a fan of oil fondue myself, I am so keenly interested.
So we had, for the oil, we had primarily beef cubes and shrimp.
Hell yes.
But you could also cook the meat in the broth, which was also delicious. We also had like bread that could go in the broth or the cheese. We had vegetables that could go in the broth or the cheese. It was like, but yeah, we had all the fondue, and then we of course had the chocolate fondue afterwards.
Of course.
But yeah, we went all out with that, with the drinking and the fondueing and the deliciousness. So yeah, all told, I think I had three Christmases.
Excellent.
So
are we still technically in the 12 days of Christmas?
Yes. That ends on 12th night, which is like January 5th.
Okay.
Yes, Jenna?
Is it the 5th? Hold on.
Because it would be...
my math mathed awkwardly. Hold on a second.
If the first day is the 25th.
Yes, it is January 5th. 12th night is January 5th.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right.
Yeah, so when people say the 12 days of Christmas, that's what they're talking about. 12th night is January 5th. That is a medieval / Renaissance thing.
Nice.
But
you're a medieval / Renaissance thing.
I mean, that is very true.
Why, thank you, Jenna.
I don't know.
Now you complimented him, and he's going to follow you everywhere.
Ew, gross.
Culminating, like, 12th night, like, there's also Lupercalia in there somewhere, which is a Roman thing. Lupercalia, when is Lupercalia? That's February. I thought it was earlier. But anyway, But in during like medieval times, 12th night is when the actual gift giving would happen.
Yeah.
So
everybody that hasn't given me a gift yet, you still have time.
You have time.
You can pretend like it was your goal all along to give me presents on the 5th.
I actually at Friendsmas from one of my friends was given like. I got this little bag and I was like, ooh, what's this? And I opened it up and inside was like a chalk marker.
Oh.
And that's it?
Nice.
And it was like, okay.
You know how much I can do with a chalk marker?
No, like, I was absolutely...
She killed a guy.
I wasn't denigrating this present at all. Like, I could definitely use one of these, but it just seemed like an odd thing to give as a Christmas present.
It's for your outline later.
But our friend, she was like, by the way, that's only half of it. The other half's coming. And it was like, oh, this makes a little more sense now. But also now I'm really wondering what the rest of this is going to be.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I got my socks for Christmas.
Yay.
I got, you know, all sorts of fun stuff. So, got some games, but we're going to talk about that coming up soon.
Yeah, one of the traditions of my household is changing. I'll just put a bookmark here to talk about it super quick. But go ahead, Salsa.
Oh yeah, we got.
I was some about games. To recommend a break. So.
Oh yeah, we'll take a break. No, I got some games which we'll talk about next. But I also got some books. Which in our household, socks and books are like the two big like Christmas presents. That
books and socks and 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 books and socks.
All right, we'll take a break because Jenna's angling for it, and then and then we'll rewear it back.
If you guys like what you heard, you can visit us on our website at aonpodcast.com. If you want to talk to us directly, you can send us an email at either Jenna, Salsa, or James at aonpodcast.com, or collectively at feedback@aonpodcast.com.
God, anyway.
We're back. I'm Saul.
Good.
I'm James.
Yay. I'm Jenna. Fucking, well, I'm good. Here, I guess. Oh,
and we have got some video games to talk about. Today, like every day, is Accent Day.
Accent Day.
Accent Day.
Sometimes it is just our own accents, but that is still an accent.
Let's face it, they're always our accents.
Yes, this is nobody else's accent, that's for damn sure.
That is...
This is definitely my very bad French accent. It is mine.
Oh, oui, oui. There is much stabbing of eardrums right now.
So sorry, Sean. I'm so sorry, buddy.
I'm sorry to everybody. This is gonna hurt everyone. No, seriously, though, as we had discussed, it is a non-denominational winter holiday for those that don't celebrate, and Christmas for those that do. And that means Secret Santa time happened.
Hey, Secret Santa.
And,
or Toyota-thon, if that's how your family.
Save big money at Menards.
Well, that's year-round, Salsa.
Yep.
That's...
I got a game from Jenna's brother.
Yeah! Ooh.
He was my Secret Santa.
To play this year.
Yeah. He got me a Star Wars video game, which I'm super, super excited to play. Here's the thing. I got two games on Christmas, and I have not had the chance to play either of them yet. I honestly am not going to have a ton to talk about in this segment, but I do want to say I'm really excited to play the Vidja game that I did get. Thank you so very much. I've been traveling and working and various other things, so I just haven't had a chance.
As one does.
Was it a game off of your wish list?
Yes, it absolutely was.
Okay. Nice.
It was the Star Wars Survivor, I think.
Jedi Survivor?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I got that one for my secret person, too. Like,
yeah, it's
the sequel. I got a Jedi something.
Ah, yeah.
So, seems likely.
Maybe.
Maybe.
I don't think so.
Possibly.
I mean, I got my person like 4 or 5 games.
Yeah. Oh, I thought you said from your person.
No, not from my
for
person.
For your person.
For my person.
Yes. Okay.
Anyway, gotcha. No, but it's the sequel game to Fallen Order, which I have already played and enjoyed a great deal.
Hell yeah.
So I'm really looking forward to getting this one off the ground. But I also got another video game. I got from my wife in my stocking. I got the Switch game of Zelda Echoes of Wisdom.
Oh, I'm so excited for you to play both of these.
it gets better.
Echoes of Wisdom, is that the cutesy one?
That's the one with the little sprites. It's the little sprites that you actually play as Zelda.
Yeah.
Okay, I think that is the one I'm thinking of.
They look toy-like.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, okay. That's the... Okay. Because I've seen that. Joe has that one. And he's absolutely delighted in it, and then yelled at it a lot, and then delighted in it again. So I'm very excited for you.
Yeah, I've heard nothing but good things. I'm really, really looking forward to playing this game. I was still working my way through the remastered. The remaster. Thank you. I was working my way through the remaster of Thousand Year Door. Paper Mario Thousand Year Door.
Yeah.
So I was just like, even when we were traveling to Wisconsin, I was like, if I don't finish this game, I'm not going to ever finish this game. So I was like, I have to finish Thousand Year Door before I can start Echoes of Wisdom.
Fair enough.
So I'm in the like final boss area of Thousand Year Door, and then I will start Echoes of Wisdom on the Switch. But it gets better. Because I, in my stocking, got Echoes of Wisdom. My son, in his stocking, got Mario Brothership. The new Mario RPG.
Yeah.
And my daughter, in her stocking, got the Mickey Mouse game. What's that called?
Is it one of the Castle of Illusions,
where Mickey has
the with the paintbrush.
I'm useless.
Epic Mickey.
Yep,
it's Epic Mickey. So she got Epic Mickey. My son got Brothership, and I got Echoes of Wisdom. So my wife was just like, "I'm never seeing the Switch again, am I?" Even when I finally get through Echoes of Wisdom, and even when I finally get through Star Wars Survivor, I'm still gonna have these other two games that my kids got that I'm still gonna play a little bit of. Plenty of games in my future. I'm really looking forward to.
Nice.
Like I said, have not had the chance to play any of them yet, but as soon as because on the Switch I've been playing Thousand Year Door, and on Steam I've been playing Biomutant, and I needed to finish those first. Or
the thing, I got a bunch of games, and I'm still playing through Roki right now.
Yeah,
I'm like, I have to finish Roki before I move on. The
moment you switch on to the next one, you never finish the previous one.
Exactly.
So that's where I'm at right now. So, how about who wants to go next?
Oh, I'll go next.
Oh, Jenna.
All right.
I've got fucking tales to tell of my secrets. So you know how most years, most of the past several years, actually, during the Secret Santa thing, one of us gets the other one, and I usually have either Salsa or James as my Secret Santa.
Yeah, that's why I was so excited to have your brother.
Yeah, so James was my Secret Santa. And I extra hate this because James sends whoever it is haikus. And boy, howdy, does he come up with some interesting haikus.
I think I got the haikus last year.
Yeah, so I felt the need to share these with the podcast this year.
Okay. All right.
Because I'm tired of suffering alone, Salsa.
What did I ever do? What did I ever do to you, Jenna?
I need people to understand. I need, yeah.
Aside
seriously.
From all the things that I did to you, what did I ever do to you?
So, James got me a copy of the Far Universe bundle.
Mm-hmm.
In this was a filthy haiku. And it says, birds and frogs chirping, nature sings spring song of love. Wet mac and cheese stirred. What?
Is that dirty or is it just James?
Weird? Yeah.
People say that fucking that it's wet macaroni noises.
I have never heard it called that ever.
Really?
Amazing. Yeah, same, actually. And that's one of the reasons why I had to say this one out loud.
I think
I was
you're doing it wrong, James.
What the fuck is happening here? But the Far Universe...
say you're doing it wrong.
The Far Universe bundle is not one that I had on my wish list.
Mm-hmm.
I feel
that's the other thing James does, is get you a bunch of bullshit that you didn't want.
I don't know much about this game.
Mm-hmm.
The art looks pretty. I'm a little concerned. Is there platforming involved in this, James?
Of the mildest sort.
Can I die?
No.
Great.
Your enjoyment of Lovers in a Dangerous Space-Time tells me that, because this is essentially single-player Lovers in a Dangerous Space-Time, you are trying to get from one end of the map to the other end of the map by performing several tasks in a vessel.
Solving puzzles and things like that.
Basically, yes.
Okay. So anyway, the art looks pretty. So
it's fucking gorgeous.
Kind of excited for it for that. But otherwise, I know nothing about this.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that's the way to get into a game.
Yeah.
The next gift that I received is Bramble the Mountain King.
Mm-hmm.
Was this one also on my wish list?
It was.
It seems like something I would have put on my wish list.
It was on there.
Yeah. I think I may have put it on there so long ago, I didn't remember what it was.
Entirely possible.
But a lot of my wish list is just chill, either story style games or puzzle games. Things that I might play on my chill, Twitch stream. So this one's lovely, but the haiku that came with this one.
Oh no.
Sleeping Beauty's safe. Thorns defend her from princes. Her untrimmed rose bush.
Well, yeah, if she's been sleeping, nobody's been trimming
her bush.
Taking care of her garden at all.
Yeah, right. At all. In any way, shape, or form. So, yeah. Yep. So, that's what happened there. What else did I get? Oh, I got Cozy Grove. Which is just, again, this is another one. I know this was definitely on my wish list. It looks just adorable and sweet and chill as fuck.
Mm-hmm.
Several other people have had this one and played this, and I watched it, and I went, ooh, I want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it just looks super cute.
It is.
And super chill. So for this delightfully sweet game, the haiku that James gifted me was such. Breeze, gentle yet strong. Animal cornered and scared. Ripped ass in own tent. Yep. Moving on. there was also let's see, yeah, you got me this one too. Bear in Breakfast, which is I think it's if I remember right, Definitely on my wish list. Mm-hmm. I think it's kind of a simulation game, mm-hmm. Where you're a bear running a bed and breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
And so it sounds like something to play with. Lots of crafting, lots of whatever type stuff. And the haiku with this one is brown, black, grizzly, leaving the cave with a grunt. Bear shits in the woods. At least I assume that says shits because it's, you know, a bunch of special characters. Because I'm guessing Steam won't let you send swear words.
I'm guessing Steam is fine with it. I'm guessing James is just weirdly shy about stupid
shit. I probably censored it.
Yeah.
Because it's fun for me to find symbols that look like they spell out the word shits.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, here's the thing. Dear listeners, I'm sure you probably know this about James, but James will tell a 2-hour joke on stage that nobody in their right mind should ever tell.
Mm-hmm.
But then he'll be strangely cagey about simple swear words.
Yeah. He's a strange man.
Or talking in the bathroom. Yeah.
Yeah. An enigma wrapped in a confusion. Is James's like whole MO.
So, and then I got one more game, but I had a lot of like $2-3 games on my wish list.
Sure, okay.
Mm-hmm. But this last game is one that James got me, but I returned.
I've done that.
Because one of my Twitch stream viewers bought me the exact same game an hour before I got this one from James.
Ah, ha, 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 ha. Yep. Ah, ha, ha, ha. You suck, sir. You suck. You do better next time. Ha, ha, ha.
But the thing is, so, and this game, this game I'm very excited for. It's called Grease.
Oh, yeah.
And
I'm sorry, say that again.
Grease.
Oh,
G-R-I-S, gris.
Gris. Oh,
French word for gray.
I heard grieve at first.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, that,
kind of, weirdly, yeah.
But as I understand it, this one is, it looks like some beautiful artwork. And if I'm understanding right, and James, you might actually know more about this game than I do. As you go through it, you get more color in your world.
Yes.
Yeah.
The reason it's like, named gris or gray is that all of the colors have been stolen.
Yeah.
And it is your job to return color and life to the world.
Yes. Which sounds just lovely to me. But also the artwork in this is kind of like pen and watercolor.
Oh,
style.
Yeah. Gorgeous.
And it looks so pretty.
Mm-hmm.
And James sent a poem with this one too. this one is a limerick, however. There once was a cute flying nun whose good name was O'er and Done. As she flew above, many fell in love. Tights, panties, or bra, she wore none. I'm not mad at that one.
Say that one again. I kind of like that one, actually.
There once was a cute flying nun
mm-hmm.
whose good name was O'er and Done. As she flew above, many fell in love. Tights, panties, or bra, she wore none.
I don't hate that one.
Huh.
It's I did save the best for last. I'm not like, oh my god, this is amazing, but it's not.
I feel like the second line needs a different ending, but other than that, I rather kind of enjoyed that one.
Yeah.
Nice.
So yeah, broken clock twice a day.
Yeah, all right. Yeah.
A slow clock even less often, but occasionally.
That was my haul from James, and I have played none of this. because I am, of course, I have to get through Roki.
Sure.
And the vast majority of these are ones that I want to play on my stream, on my Twitch stream.
So I have to
finish Roki before I can start one of these other ones. And I'm about halfway through. I just woke the bear. For those who know the storyline in Roki. So about halfway through. But yeah, that was my haul. James.
My Secret Santa, Jenna, you said you thought you may have figured out who had whomst.
Oh my god. So I wrote everything down too, but it's downstairs. but let me okay, so hold on. Because
I'll ask you to go through all of them, but I will ask you if you figured out who my Secret Santa was.
Yeah, I know that one already.
Oh.
Hold on. I wrote it down. Was it? Shit. Okay, if you want me to answer this, like, for sure, I need to go downstairs and get my list. Do you want me to do that?
No, that's okay. No.
Because I've got it written down, and I know I figured out everybody, because I know who I had, and I knew who Steve had.
Me.
Yep. But those were the ones that weren't. Those are the ones that weren't talked about directly in the chat. So once I had all of that, and I want to say James. I want to say yours was Stefan.
Yep. Correct. Yep. Stefan Senpai. Yep.
You posted it in the Secret Santa chat that you got four great games from Stefan.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Excellent. Perfect.
I'm like, I thought we knew yours, but I couldn't
remember. Oh, okay.
James was so surprised when we knew, when he fucking told us.
No thoughts. Head empty. Brain smooth.
But yeah, so it was, I had, so Stefan had you, you had me, I had Gray.
Oh no. So I...
Wait.
No, I received from
Steve.
Jer, yeah.
I received from Steve.
Yeah.
And I gave to Stefan.
So yeah,
Stefan.
Gray had Steve.
I received from Stefan. Yeah. I received from...
You interrupted me and I had it all laid out.
Sorry.
This is why
God
I...
Stephen gave to me.
Yes.
Me... gave to Stefan. Stefan gave to James. James gave to Jenna. James Jenna gave to me. Gray. Gray gave to Steve.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah. All that's you stopped me right at Gray gives to.
Sorry. Yes. That is. I was really excited because I knew the answer too. But yes.
It was Colonel Mustard in the billiard
and then
room.
You did it backwards. It was okay. Sorry. Anyway.
With the salsa.
Look, James, go ahead and take some garlic and onions and put them in a
God damn
pan.
It.
And they're really good. Fuck. No, sorry, Jenna, I apologize. I'm going to log off now because
you
was the asshole there. That's 100% on me.
So I got four really wonderful games from Stefan Senpai. I got the game Prey, which is sort of like a sci-fi prop hunt where all of these little shadow mimics are becoming objects in rooms and you have to save your life and others' lives by detecting which objects are the false copies and eliminating the little mimic creatures before they kill. Yeah. Which is tense, but not like... not gruesome or terrifying in the same way as like Amnesia or something like that, but just like pleasantly suspenseful and really cool. I've seen other people play it. I have never had the chance to play it myself and I'm really excited for it. I got Little Nightmares 1 and 2, which I'm also very excited about because the art style is really awesome.
I've heard good things about those ones.
I'm very highly rated by friends. The sort of an esoteric storytelling by playing kind of thing, which I'm looking forward to. Other than that, I unfortunately don't know a lot about Little Nightmares 1 and 2. But the one that I do know a lot about, other than Prey, because again, I've watched people play through it a little bit. The one that I have been playing, because it is also, I think all of these are perfect for Steam Deck, but this one in particular, I've been playing on Steam Deck and it is astounding. It's called Manifold Garden. And Manifold Garden is a puzzle platformer like The Witness, Portal and Portal 2, or Talos Principle, that kind of stuff, where you're connecting a laser to this thing to turn this on and open this door, move the block from here to there, all of that stuff. But the weird puzzle element very particular to this game is that you can walk up onto a wall and it becomes the floor.
Okay.
And
it's another shifting perspective game.
Yes, but the other part of it is that the ground that you're on is infinitely repeated. So you're on a kind of a floating island that has all of the puzzle pieces on it. And you're moving between these different islands and things like that as the game progresses from hub worlds into different puzzle areas and that kind of thing. You solve puzzles by walking up onto the ceiling and grabbing something, and certain things only work in particular orientations, and or they do something different in a particular orientation, whatever. But the mind-blowing thing is that if you step off of the world and fall into the open expanse, you do not die. You keep falling past infinite copies of the world.
Okay.
And so you can use that to get from one place to another.
On the same map?
On the same map. Okay. So if you fall off of the eastern edge, you will continue to fall past the eastern edge.
Keep moving east until you hit the western side.
And you can hit the western edge by falling, or you can get back onto a higher point on the eastern side by falling onto it. Or you can rotate the entire map a particular way and fall west.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like I said, a shifting perspective game.
Yeah. So it's and they are doing a really good job of introducing slowly and carefully introducing different puzzle mechanics and providing guidance without words, really. The three instructions that they have are for the buttons.
Mm-hmm.
That is just basically press A to interact, or press this button to shift gravity up onto the wall. Press this button to do this thing. I've played a lot of different games that have weird physics and especially like non-Euclidean geometry.
Right.
Like anti-chamber is really big on non-Euclidean pathing, but this one
somewhere at this very moment, H.P. Lovecraft had just turned over in his grave.
Yeah. But things like being able to walk into a door from one side but not from the other is very normal. That's something that mm-hmm. is in a lot of different games.
Yeah.
But something where a hallway will take you to different places depending on which way you're facing,
mm-hmm.
or whether you're walking on the ceiling or the floor or something like that. Like Antichamber did a fucking astounding job with that. Mm-hmm. And there are other games like that.
Yeah, like Four-Sided Fantasy is another one.
And
Four-Walled Fantasy? Four-Sided? Four-Walled?
I have just been introduced
Four-Sided Fantasy
to areas in this game that have that like shifting gravitational element to it, and also the directional puzzle, like something is falling or needs to point in a particular way. And now they're also introducing non-Euclidean geometric paths.
Sure.
And it's it's amazing. But one of the kind of the cover art for it is one of the areas where stepping out onto this infinite hillside, you can see that it expands in all directions, but you can also look up and see that it is repeated as the ceiling.
Hmm.
And so you're able to get to different things or fall up the hill by changing gravity mm-hmm. in a particular direction. Things like it's
mm-hmm.
it is a wild thing to wrap your head around. And I am having an incredible time playing that. Don't expect that it's a super long game because the puzzles are very involved. But
what's it called again, James?
That one is called Manifold Garden.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like,
and I had heard about that one during a conversation about the limitation of infinite space. Mm-hmm. That the brain calculates infinite space as being very limited, mm-hmm. but actual rendered spaces that are extremely large
mm-hmm.
feel much bigger than infinite spaces. Mm-hmm. And so while at first stepping out onto a ledge and seeing indefinite copies of the place where I'm standing on all sides and up and down is a little dizzying.
Sure.
It becomes a part of the puzzle element because you can see all sides of the place that you're standing.
That makes sense. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And it becomes much more finite. Where something like the staircase from Silent Hill 2 that is like 20 or 30 minutes of just walking down the stairs is a much larger space.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That kind of thing. Yeah.
Like you said, I also love games that play with physics or mm-hmm. space or things like, you know, games like Fez or Four-Sided Fantasy or things like that do something interesting with game mechanic. And you're right that they often are not very long games. They're usually like 4 hour long games, but
Monument Valley is another one where
they do
turning things to make it appear a particular way. Yeah.
Yeah. Similar to Fez in that respect, where it's just like, the whole game is based around this one mechanic, which is really, really interesting. And you can only do so much with it, but also it's really interesting what you've done with it. So
what's the one, I can't think of the name of it right now, but, like the whole the perspective aspect can change like different size depending on how far
subliminal.
Away.
Subliminal.
Thank you.
Oh, superliminal. Yeah.
Superliminal. Sorry. Yes.
Yeah. Superliminal.
Yep. Yeah.
That's another
that
one.
That one.
Ooh, yeah.
That one is the one that really got me. I was like, ooh. Yeah.
I've been really impressed with all of the different ways that got used in that game. I am ridiculously impressed already without having finished this game, ridiculously impressed with how
mm-hmm.
that movement element of it, and the travel of having being able to see the objective, but having to calculate how to get there, because you can't just freely rotate the room.
Sure.
You have to walk up onto a surface.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so it is a puzzle. You have
to find the right place that when you do shift things,
yeah,
things shift correctly.
You will fall correctly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. All of that. So it's a wild time.
Nice.
I've been super enjoying that. And then I think Prey is next, and I will probably erstwhile play Little Nightmares 1 and 2 when I'm not, you know, looking to have things leaping at my face after, you know, like a coffee cup trying to smother me or something.
Right.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So, all of that.
All right. Yeah. That was everybody's Secret Santa stuff. So
yeah.
Well, I suppose we should thank someone for pulling it together or some shit.
Yes, absolutely.
100%. Thank you so much, Stefan Senpai. I know that this was something that you've been doing for a few years, but it's been an absolute honor to host the Secret Santa. Thank you for organizing it, setting up, making all the little details that make it go, doing all the, you know, grunt work of finding the bots that make it so you can participate yourself.
I mean just
all the little things that make it a little bit better every year. And thank you to everybody participating. The more people that participate, the better. That means James, Jenna, and I are just giving each other gifts.
I mean, sometimes it does.
Even when other people are around.
I guess.
But no, 100%. Thank you, Stefan. We couldn't do it without you. It always is the highlight of my year. And I think for some other people.
Absolutely.
Well,
I look forward to it every year.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to do the whole usual wrap-up bullshit.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brandon Patton was kind enough to give us the music for this episode and every episode. You can see what he's up to at brandonpatton.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, but especially you can help us out by rating our show. Check out our merch. You can go to society6.com/AON podcast.
Hey, everybody. You should like us on Facebook, apropos of nothing. You could follow us on Twitter at AON Podcast, or you could join our Steam group at AON Podcast. Search for Apropos of Nothing.
Sorry, I got to chatting with Jenna and forgot what was going on.
Yeah, we're ostensibly recording a podcast, Salsa.
Oh.
Yeah. You know that thing we do every week?
We should do that then. I'm back. I'm Salsa.
I'm James.
And I'm Jenna.
And it is time for a Fast Five.
Fast Five!
So I have been told.
Yeah.
Today's Fast Five comes to us from... Who does it come from?
Bing!
Who's it come from?
Me. It
comes from James.
It's from me.
It's a from James.
Because we are out of them.
We are empty.
Oh, it's not a Christmas miracle.
Old Fast Five Hubbard has gone to the cupboard.
And found no bones for her dog.
Yes.
That's totally how that goes.
I have concerns for your childhoods.
Is there a topic?
Yeah, do you just want to go, James?
Yeah. Wait, I feel... I'm ready. All right.
All right.
Yeah. Let's do that.
Fast Five. Question number one.
Oh, you do have it. Okay. You didn't do the drum roll, so I didn't know if you
tap
had the thing.
Or
yes,
bar.
It's stinging. It's stinging.
Me.
Well, that's a little delayed.
Oh, sorry. The lag over here is really bad.
Yeah. I'll bet. Doesn't mean it's not even from your internet. So the
what was
all
it?
In, it's tap all in my or head. Bar.
Tap or bar.
I took ballet growing up.
Ooh.
Although I will ask, how is bar spelled? Because I'm pretty sure that's not
the an excellent question. B A R.
All right. Yeah. I'm still going to go with bar because I took ballet growing up, even though I'm positive that's not the context.
When I am at a drinking establishment, do I want a beer or a cocktail?
Well,
and
my answer is still bar.
I will probably, if I am at a drinking establishment, go with a beer. If I am at home, I will end up with a cocktail.
All
right. So I will go with tap.
It's kind of the opposite of, I think, the way that most people do it. Most people go, because most people do not consider themselves to be mixologists, a la salsa.
I'm sorry.
A la bechamel.
Thank you.
Gross. I hate everything that's happening here. This is fine.
They will. They'll get a beer or something. You know, whatever they can uncap at home, and then when they're out at an establishment where someone is paid to mix their drink, they'll get a cocktail or something like that. So that's an interesting contrast.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, all right.
Okay. So caveat to that: if they have a interesting house cocktail. I might try that, but I will probably not get a rum and coke. I will probably not get a gin and tonic. I will probably not get something like that.
I think aside from a Bloody Margaret, probably my two most common cocktails to get are a gin and tonic, which is sublimely easy. It's got two ingredients. I'll give you some guesses, and the first five don't count. But the
rum and soda.
That the
only thing I like in a gin and tonic is the and.
Yes, and
Jenna wants to get malaria. So there.
The other one is a Scooby snack. I don't know if Jenna can't really have a Scooby snack.
No, you can't.
But
it is against all. Things.
Okay, that's, way back in the day.
Just everything she's allergic to.
Like,
Jenna had a date like that once, though.
Probably.
Yeah. Where I puked all over the place. Yep.
Oh, man. All right. I chose bar.
Okay.
So, all right. Fast five question number two. Variety or tap?
Variety.
I'm gonna go variety.
Mm-hmm.
I like options.
I prefer over a dance show. I prefer a variety show.
Oh, there you go.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Mm-hmm. I prefer having a variety of options as opposed to just the one thing that's on tap.
I think I'm gonna choose tap on this one.
All
right. It's a very difficult decision for me, but I think I'm going to choose tap. All right.
All right.
Fast five question number three. Subject or variety?
Subject or variety?
Subject or variety.
What the fuck is going on in your brain? That's not a thing.
No, let's not. Yeah, no, that's a can of worms.
Nope.
Nobody wants to know that.
Subject or variety. Would you rather be an expert in a one thing or have a good smattering of knowledge in a variety of things? And I would rather have a good smattering of information on a variety of things as opposed to being a true expert in just one thing. So I'm going to go variety.
Same. Variety.
Yeah. I would agree. I think I'm going to go variety. Yeah.
I am a Jenna all trades.
All right. Fast five. Question number four. Sacrifice or subject?
As a Christian, I feel like I have to go sacrifice.
As an atheist, I feel like I have to go subject.
Ooh.
All right.
I think I'm going to go subject. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. Fuck.
As a Pastafarian.
Salsa high five. Boop.
Okay. Okay. Fast five, question number five.
Five.
Agile or sacrifice? I know that the word CSM, agile is somewhat triggering.
As a CSM, I feel like I have to go agile.
I'm going with the original Latin of agile.
Ooh.
Which means sauce.
Or the French of agile, which means a sauce.
Damn.
Excuse me, what's the soup du jour? It's the soup of the day. Yeah, that sounds great. Yeah, we'll have one of those.
Have you ever seen the thing about the person complaining about the soup du jour? She's had soup du jour at some other place, and this is completely different, and she was really upset about that.
Oh my God.
Yep.
No, oh my God.
I'm not surprised. I'm just.
Wow. Wow.
Ah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. No. I had soup du jour at this other place, and it was completely different than this one.
It seems like it depends on what day I come in. fuck. All right. So, I think.
Do you?
That I'm going to choose sacrifice.
Or I should have said, are you?
Does it?
No, you think. All right. Are you? Therefore, you. Never mind.
Yep.
But that would have been putting Descartes before the horse.
I told that to the kids, and they were angry at me.
Yeah. All right. So I'm the sure context. Question number one: tap or bar? Mm-hmm. If you have a strong desire to play classic games, would you rather have a tablet system that you can tap and play on? To play all of the games that you're interested from anywhere you want? Or would you prefer to have a dedicated barcade with a bunch of machines and in addition to like fun decor and drinks and stuff?
I want a barcade.
What is a what is a barcade?
It's a bar arcade.
Yeah, like think like Up Down or yeah. But it's an arcade that serves booze. But you could have your own dedicated barcade.
Yeah.
So you'd have a bunch of arcade games with booze. So
you'd have your own like room that is a bar and an arcade with like a Mortal Kombat machine and a Tetris machine and a couple of pinballs and some Steamball and stuff. A DDR.
A games room.
Yep.
Yes.
But with booze.
Yeah.
A games room.
Not all games rooms have booze.
I'm good.
Not all booze rooms have games.
Again, a games room.
Not all games rooms have booze.
No. I'm going to try.
In particular, Salsa,
one more time.
A games room could have several kinds of games, while a barcade, more specifically, is a games room which includes and features some arcade games.
But no board games?
Not the purpose of the question. Okay, but
I don't
know. For the purposes of this question.
What is the question again?
So would you rather
have a tablet where you can that you can take anywhere with like your basic tablet tap and play games, but like it was like every game, right? Like any game.
Yeah, whatever retro games you want to play.
Yeah. That one.
So you're playing arcade games on a tablet.
That one.
Or okay. And Jenna, you said barcade. Yeah, I said bar for barcade. Yeah. Okay. All right. Question number two, variety or tap. Headed to an occasion with friends, would you rather bring a couple individual different bottles, like a variety six pack or a variety 12 pack, something like that, or bring a large keg of your personal favorite?
Variety.
Variety.
I said a large keg of my personal favorite. Because I can try other stuff, but I will know that there is something there that I like, and I can share it with others. Mm-hmm.
I'm also going to go out on a limb and say the thing that you really like is not going to be everybody's bag.
That's the thing. Like, if we're going out with a few friends, if I get a variety, it's more likely everybody will find something that they enjoy. And if I'm getting a variety of stuff, one of those varieties could be something that I enjoy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I like bringing a variety pack of Twisted Tea to various gatherings.
One of my favorite things about running a party room with the two of you was that we had one beverage.
That is a very different thing, though.
It is. Very different. And that is because of budget. Different thing. That is because of budget. And that was, but if I'm bringing a thing to a party, I know for a fact the thing that I like is not what everybody else wants.
Yeah, true. I don't want salsas, old fashions. Maybe regulars, but not salsas. party room situation is a completely different beast.
Oh, absolutely.
That cannot compare into this world of whatnots.
It's apples and oranges, but they're both fruit. Yeah.
It's a completely different environment with a different setup of expectation. So.
Fair. Okay. Question number three, subject or variety, trivia and mini game experience. Are you usually the master of a given subject or like a particular game type? And the reason that I throw that in there is that there are games like Cranium that have the four different types of things. And some people are really good at charades and they fucking suck at Taboo.
This one, yeah.
But yeah. Or are you modestly good enough at different types to make a good showing?
Variety.
Yeah. I'm not modestly good at anything. I'm boastfully great at everything. Yeah. Let's be clear.
Jenna totally cracked this one. Yep. Variety.
Yeah, yep. All right. Sacrifice or subject, are your favorite traditions more often the giving/performing of something nice for someone else or the sharing of your potentially weird things?
Ask that again.
Okay. Are your favorite traditions more often the giving or performing of something nice?
No, sorry, but what was the two choices again?
Sacrifice or subject.
Sacrifice.
That you are sacrificing, you are giving something, you are...
Like gift giving or doing a thing for others.
Or subject, are you sharing your potentially weird things? Like you're like, my tradition is I'm watching 31 holiday movies this month. And if you can be over on Wednesday, you can catch 5 of them. Or if you want to see Home Alone 2, that's going to be on the 15th or, you know, something
they're,
like that.
They're both forms of sharing.
One
of them is more focused on the other person, I think.
Yes.
What is something that the other person would enjoy as opposed to this is something I enjoy and you are welcome to come share it with me.
Gotcha. Right. The first one.
Yeah. That's pretty much how I do. I would like to be able to do that more. I don't know. This is going to sound really sad. I don't do a lot of gift giving around the holidays because I don't have a lot of people that give me gifts or that I exchange gifts with. Right. But I like being able to do things for other people. When I host an event, it's because I want to provide an environment for others. And I'm not a big person on, I'm going to be doing this thing and you're welcome to join me. Cause then I'm like, are people coming over? Are they not coming over? Like I get a weird anxiety about that kind of thing. I would much rather be like, I want to serve you food. Come over and I will serve you food or whatever.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For me, in particular, like the watching of certain holiday movies or the listening to holiday music, the particular meal traditions and things like that. Those are things that I enjoy sharing with others, but it's something that helps me to feel like my holiday is complete. So I recognize that those are things for me. That's sure. Something that I'm doing for myself. And potentially subjecting others to. Yeah.
Fair.
Yeah. Like eggnog.
What else?
Okay. Question number 5, agile or sacrifice holiday parties. Are you doing a little of everything on a given day, skipping from place to place, or foregoing many to focus on one event in a day?
Oh, I hit as many as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And especially this year, because years past I was down in Kansas City. This mm-hmm. year, I've been around for people's gatherings, and so I wanted to hit everybody's gathering. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. And, like, tomorrow, New Year's Eve, I have 3 different shindigs I'm going to, so. But the thing is, like, Salsa's not going to get this. I like people. And I like a wide variety of people in different social groups. And I don't, like, there's a part of me that's like, well, I don't want anybody to feel left out. But, like, I also actively just enjoy the presence of these different groups. And the different ways that each group interacts can hit at various aspects of me as a person.
Sure.
One of them is a pajama party that I'm going mm-hmm. to tomorrow. Another one is a masquerade. I enjoy doing both of those activities, just straight up. I'm dressing for the masquerade. But but like I enjoy those kinds of environments just in different ways. So mm-hmm. I like being able to partake in all of those things that fill me up just a little bit.
Yeah.
So.
I think that I, especially in past, have been a person that sort of flits from party to party. Just sort of stopping and staying for enough time to be there and say hi to everybody and then say goodbye to everybody. But Some things have changed, and a lot of them are not necessarily me. Sometimes it's friend groups, or sometimes it's distances between mm-hmm. things, or financially, am I able to do all of these things in a particular day? But some part of it is also just wanting to have the experience of settling in and doing a thing and being dedicated to that thing and then coming home, recognizing that I, especially in past, I have been a person who does all the things, capital A, capital T, capital T.
Right.
And that giving myself permission to do that, but also giving myself permission to, if I feel like it, just do one thing and then recover from it.
Sure. I'm an extrovert. I get charged up by people. Yeah. So like going out and doing a million things actively charges me. I will come home tomorrow night buzzed. Guaranteed. I will be floating tomorrow night. So, Salsa?
I guess I don't have much of a choice.
Oh?
Like, people will schedule things, and if I want to go to it, I have to go to it. Like, I don't have the ability to...
If James and I were both having parties on the same day, would
he would attend neither.
Well, would you go to both of them or only one of them?
My wife would decide which one we go to.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
But you would probably not go to both of them.
Like, would they both be in the evening?
Yeah.
Potentially.
Then I would only go to one of them, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. My understanding of Jenna's modus operandi is the go to one party for an hour or two, go to the next mm-hmm. party for an hour or two, finish up the night at the third party.
Yep.
Go to brunch with another person the next day.
I've got kids.
Yeah.
To be fair, I did that a lot with a kid as well.
Oh no! Once you get to a place with kids, that's where we are.
Yeah.
And I will say, like, when you have a kid, it does affect how you're going to do things. But I've still gotten to several things in one evening with my kid, depending on the groups.
Yeah. Well, and I think
or gotten a sitter.
Some part of it is also
their dad, but yeah.
Like, even if it's not kids. Sometimes coordinating with someone else for transportation or like if I'm going somewhere with a partner,
sure.
I am more likely to be to go to one place and then come home.
Honestly, one of the things with Joe and I is that Joe is definitely a one or none kind of a person. And I'm like, I want to go everywhere.
Yeah.
And there would be many times where Joe would join me for an event and then mm-hmm. he would leave, but like Ubers and things like that, like there are other options available to that. So
recently one of the new friends at the booth had a birthday party and they were doing a bar crawl and it was a bunch of 20 somethings mm-hmm. and that kind of stuff, and so Jax and I showed up as the elderly couple
I don't believe any part of that, but okay.
By the birthday boy, a couple of drinks at the first location, and then to say, all right, well, you kids be safe.
Mm-hmm.
We're headed home now. It's 10 p.m. and Matlock is coming on. Yeah.
No, I think in general, if I'm looking at my calendar and I see two things on the calendar at the same time, I'm going to one of them and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And that's kind of what I would have guessed for you.
Yeah.
So, yeah. All right. So that was a fast five, right?
That was a fast five.
Great.
All right. Well, if you would like to send in a fast five and we're obviously out and the new year is coming and hey, make yourself a new year's resolution, sending in some fast fives because we need those. Otherwise,
yes, who knows
what's going to happen.
Need roughly 50 a year.
We'll have to listen to more of James's fast five.
Oh, God.
None of us want that.
Anyway, go to a1podcast.com, click on submit a fast five, and fill out the form. Does anybody have any shout outs?
Oh, God. I have so many things that I did and that were awesome. I'm going to give a shout out to Dangerous Productions, actually. Right. That show, it was an all ages, and I was like, I'm going to go see it because, friends of mine are doing this. But it was way more fun than I thought I was going to have in an all ages show. Like, it was chaos. And there were screaming children all over the place, and like everything was wacky and ridiculous. And I had way more fun than I thought I was going to. So, shout out to them for doing an all ages show that is actually all ages.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
My shout out is going to be to my family and friends, especially friends in this podcast circle who are involved with gift giving and things like that. It is wonderful. And it means that during the coldest, darkest time of the year, I am not only do I have things to look forward to, which can be arranged, but I have people to look forward to, including you two and Stefan and the rest of our listeners and my Lanime group and my family and things. And it's really nice. And I just appreciate all of you.
I'm going to give my shout out to the fog. I don't know if the two of you have gone anywhere for the past few days.
Oh,
but
yes.
It's been beautiful.
Yeah, it's
beautiful
been
soup.
It's been so pretty. Like I said, my brother and his family came up for the Vikings-Packers game on Sunday. And I drove them to the stadium and picked them up afterwards. And both directions, it was driving through the fog. And it was gorgeous.
Yeah.
It was lovely.
So pretty. It was, yeah. I love that. I love that winter fog where it's just like the white snow kind of just becomes the air.
Yeah.
It's so pretty. It's so pretty. It's so pretty. It's really pretty.
Yeah.
Does anybody have anything to plug?
The evening of January 1st, New Year's Day, I will be streaming in some way, shape, or form, either with my family or doing a solo stream.
All right. That seems to be it. Everybody's giving me blank stares. Okay. In that case, does anybody have any final thoughts?
Bye-bye. I love you. Bye-bye-bye.
In that case, thank you so very much to everybody who listens to this podcast for listening to us for another year. Thanks for sticking around and doing this. More to come in the next year. We'll be continuing to do this nonsense. Thank you for listening. Thanks to James for writing our Fast Five, because y'all are lazy bitches. It's holidays. Oh, it's holidays. It's holidays. I'll give you a bye. I'll give you a bye. It's a holiday. New Year's coming. Get your asses moving. In all seriousness, though, we love you all. Thank you for sticking around with us. Thank you for supporting us. And we'll come back to you in the new year. On behalf of myself and James Jenna, eat the fucking cake.
Come here, my rubber orangutan. Let me feel your nipples.